This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign session.
You got this.
You gotta write something out for this.
This is deeply unprofessional.
We can't clear zero.
We were talking about how to intro it, and you were like, okay, I got it. And then we launched in.
Well, here's the meta thing about it is I was like, if I fuck it up, it'll be funny. So I'll go in with nothing. And I'll come out with nothing and it'll be fine.
I love that. That is like confidence.
That's the comedy classic though. When in doubt, just fall down some steps. It's always funny.
This is not quite session zero. The gang does not have their characters prepped yet, but I figured we would do
Maybe we're keeping them close to our chest.
Or maybe we're keeping them
close
to our
chest. Is that what you say when you have poker cards?
Yes.
Close to your chest, yeah.
I've got my cards clenched between my butt cheeks.
There you go. That would also be hard
I've
to
got
say.
My cards down my throat.
Okay.
Well, I lay them down there face up, okay? I'm playing Henry Hogfish again, folks. New world, same guy.
Wow.
The curse continues.
Fine, I'll be Fia again.
Okay, this feels counterproductive.
And Caldwell's also going to be Fia.
Hey, Caldwell's also going to be Fia. This is really confusing.
Two Fias.
I was saying to these guys off mic, kind of what I imagine this being is, this is again, not quite session zero, but this is like the email that I would send to these guys as we did character creation, sort of the talks that we would have as we went into this campaign. Instead of doing that off mic, why not do it on mic?
Hell yeah.
The email before the campaign,
That's there so we go. Extroverted of you, Murph.
Oh, yeah. I love attention.
Live out
That's
loud.
Why.
Yeah, you're freaking draining my social battery.
I'm online all the time.
You're a ham, man.
So this will kind of feel maybe like something we would normally do on Patreon, but it's the Hogladays, so everybody gets a little taste.
It is.
Okay.
Hogladays after all.
You thought that maybe, you at home thought maybe you would go another year without hearing the phrase Hogladays again, but here it is in your ear.
We got to get it in while we can.
The Hogladay season is actually November to February.
Yeah. Well, of course, Valentine's Day Hogladay.
We've got a couple Hogladays. Coming up in January.
The holidays come once in a blue moon.
I saw someone on Patreon spell it Hogladays instead of D-A-Y-S. It was D-A-Z-E. And I was like,
that's canon.
That's good. Too much.
Yeah. That's good.
That's what we call a hat on a hat.
No, I want to wear two hats if that's what
too
that
much.
Is.
Here's the thing. A fox with two tails, two hats on that fox.
Ooh,
why not?
I love it.
Sweet guys. So you know what I'm going to do, and this might be something we hear later, but I'll probably punch it up because this was all just written to be very casual. Because again, I'm a fucking just cool ass casual dude.
So
this
confident.
Is just normal
Your
ass stuff.
Today. Your confidence today
I'm fucking
is
confident.
Like, inspiring.
I'm normal.
Is it a new year?
You're confident.
You
you're
just...
normal. You're chill.
I'm confident and normal.
Emily this gave is breezy, man. Keep going. You're crushing it.
Emily gave me Jack Skellington boxers. For Christmas, and they're fucking comfy.
It's really funny because they like look really good on him. Are they like silk? They're a very, I found like the ones that were like maybe the most comfortable and well rated, and then they look very good, but there's so many Jack Skellington faces all there's over.
These are five star Skellingtons? There, you got five star Skellingtons?
Yeah, there's a lot of Skellingtons.
Are they full boxer or are they briefs?
That's a good question.
They're boxers, but Emily bought me a size
the tight
too,
ones,
too small, so they're super
they're
tight.
Top boxers.
So my quads look really good in them.
That's awesome.
But you can't tell me this information because now every time I see you, Murph, I'm going to be wondering, like, is he rocking the Skellies?
We're going to try to pants you on tour.
I'll just show you guys. Literally, I'll just show you. You can ask.
He's ham. You can say ham. He's confident.
It's true. I'm just a confident fucking guy. You can just ask me if I'm scaling up.
Dude, you could just go to his latest Instagram post. You can see him.
Whoa. Not even a story. It's just there for everyone to see. Incredible.
That's on Maine, bro.
Yeah, as we all know, I'm very fucking horny on Maine.
His thirst trap. His thirst
My
trap
family's post. Unfollowed I'm, him.
I might be the least horny person on Maine that has ever existed. Anyway.
He's celibate on Maine.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely fucking celibate on Maine.
Abstinence on Maine.
I'm not on Maine. Is the thing. I'm not on Maine.
Well, isn't that the greatest abstinence of all?
Yeah, true.
It's true. Yeah, you're smooth as hell on Maine, dude.
I'm edging on Maine. Okay.
Speaking of edging, let's give the people what they want to hear.
Yeah, let's give the people what they want.
Nice.
Okay. All right, now so that you're picturing Murph in Jack Skellington boxers.
The funny
boxer briefs.
It is Hogloween after all.
The funny thing is that like I feel like we have kind of like a cool setting thing coming up, but it's been completely undercut by all the talk about Jack Skellington. Anyway, okay, so this is a little bit of a tagline, this is something I'll rewrite later, but you may hear it again as we get into the actual campaign. But here's a little tease.
Let's go read the drafts.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everybody.
Let's go.
Let's return. 200 years after Thiala's cataclysm and subsequent defeat, the world looks very different. In the time since our last adventure, the floating city of Gladeholm became a bastion of knowledge and discovered many scientific and magical breakthroughs. However, the utopian city eventually outgrew the mortal realm and transported itself to the astral plane, with many of the world's best, brightest, and most advanced gone to deal with matters of universal importance. A struggle for power has emerged on the material plane. There have been 200 years of relative peace, but without Gladeholm to hold them together, the five remaining kingdoms quietly vie for power as tensions bubble.
Wow. Oh, fuck yeah. This is the first time I'm hearing this.
Yeah, you guys don't know anything other than...
It's awesome. I got the chills. Yeah.
I'm bumpy. My skin's bumpy, my friend.
Then I've got some info on these like five remaining kingdoms and kind of updates on like where some settings are at now that you
dump
may have
that
heard,
lore. Dump
that you
it.
May remember from campaign one.
Oh, my God.
So the five kingdoms are Irondeep. The Great Mines were once collapsed during Thiala's cataclysm, but have been rebuilt to become the greatest power of the West. A population of mainly dwarves occupy the inner mountain, while the surrounding area is occupied by a huge population of humans and others. Then there's Asmodia. The curse over this once lost city has been lifted. Yeah, hundreds.
Holy shit.
Yes. It's back, baby. Hundreds of traveling bands of orcs have reunited and rebuilt the city of Asmodia, quickly turning itself into a military power and becoming one of Irondeep's greatest allies.
There we go.
How's the food, though?
The food?
Oh, I bet it's great.
I would imagine pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been mostly traveling around, so I'm assuming they picked up a lot of things along the way.
Oh, fuck.
But
it's a melting
also,
pot.
Like,
Crick spices.
Yeah.
When you have been cursed for a while and you finally come back, you really want to enjoy yourself, I would think.
Yeah.
So you take time. You make meals. Pleasurable.
I think it's a combination of things. It's learning a lot of stuff while you're going around and meeting all these other people, but then also being like well, if this is what we can do on the road, imagine what we can do if we're in one place for a long
time.
The
full industrial kitchen. Yeah. Yes. Wow.
So that's,
I cannot wait to try those tapas.
That's canon now that they do tapas. It would add up.
The food of Asmodia. We're always, our new characters are always dreaming of an Asmodian meal.
Another one of the major powers, of course, is Frostwind. To the north, the Frost Dwarves have finally reached a peace treaty with a new leader of the Frost Giants. For the first time ever, the greatest military power in Bohemia is seemingly no longer distracted by petty squabbles.
Huge for them.
Huge for them.
Yeah.
Way to go.
But what does it mean for the rest
of the
world?
They're not battling giants anymore.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an alliance with the giants.
Yes. So it's
a giants alliance?
A giants alliance. And there's just a...
Such beautiful science, a giants alliance.
So yes. Wow. So now there's just a huge continent of extremely tough dudes.
That's awesome.
Oh, the tall and the small. Making a wall.
The tall, small, making a wall. The giant's alliance.
You got, all right, so my character is 100% from Frostwind now.
Oh, rad. And then brand new, the Fae Archipelago. And maybe not an archipelago, but maybe we're calling it that for now. Opening the Planar Rift led many travelers from the Feywild to Bohemia. With the uniting of the Seelie and the Unseelie court in the Feywild, Fey traditionalists who may have liked things the way they were and wanted to kind of carve out a new thing, but then also adventurers who just wanted to travel to a new world have traveled to Bohemia to found a new place. They've created a magical series of islands where the Eladrin now reside.
Whoa. How close is that to Ren's island?
Ren is... God.
Sorry,
I feel like Caldwell's style of improv is to ask me questions.
I'm so sorry.
I just like to think that Ren's island was like displaced by this new cool archipelago. That's my head.
Well,
cannon.
I'm like, how in this? How
is
can
Ren
I be
in
funny?
Outer space though? Ren is in the astral plane, right?
Ren is probably in the astral plane.
So he probably just has like a spaceship.
Yeah, okay. Rent's probably one of the few NPCs that's still alive. I guess it would just be like,
oh yeah,
the dwarves would be very old, and the elves would be fine, and everyone else is dead.
Oh no!
Well, you know, people
are 200 years.
People are powerful, so maybe you know, I'm not gonna spoil anything, but general lifetime is humans super dead, elves fine, dwarves older, halflings dead. Mm. Half elves? Who knows?
Oh, interesting.
Very interesting.
Half elves most likely dead, I think. But we, you know,
right. But recently, Hard One's only been dead for a little bit of time.
People are powerful.
This is a very funny just vibe for the intro here. Just listening who's dead.
Just listening who's dead and who's not.
Yeah, just read us the obituaries right now.
Well, I'm like, just because I don't, the last thing I want is to go into this campaign and for every single time I introduce a new NPC to be like, do you guys think that's secretly Ren? Do you guys think that's secretly Erlen? Is that secretly this person? It's like, no, it's not. It's no one. It's just no one.
Yeah, they're openly dead.
Yeah, some of them are, well, no one's.
And you know what? That's a beautiful thing. They
but
live
it's
long
like,
lives.
It's not even like they're openly dead. It's like we're probably not going to hear about them.
Nana Kindleaf, right. though, is surviving on Spite alone, right?
Nana Kindleaf,
Spite
certainly.
And Werther's.
Nana Kindleaf died 10 years after. Nana Kindleaf died 190 years
ago. Did she joke on a
ago.
Werther's?
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, not of
natural causes.
More. Yeah. No, I will not confirm anything in the canon of like who's alive and who's dead because you know.
Yeah, also, we don't need to talk about.
It. We don't need to. So I mean, it's honestly funny to talk about, so I think it's fine. but you know, people are powerful, so being a human or being a halfling or something does not mean that you are automatically 100% dead, but it does mean that you don't have to at me. About bringing back NPCs because I'll just say it now, most of them are gone.
That's
and
they had
beautiful
here.
Lives and beautiful right. stories. And Nana Kindleaf mm-hmm. is still alive, surviving on Spite and
Nana Kindleaf right. might be alive.
So you can really just say they're not there.
They're not there.
And it's like they're dead, alive. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. They're
right.
not there.
And also, these will be new characters. So it's the equivalent of being like, does Jake's character know who Beverly Togold's dad was? Probably not.
Maybe he's a huge fan. I don't know.
Maybe he's a huge fan. Anyway,
but our next six live shows will just be funerals for characters in Bohemia.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah.
God, it'd be so funny to play a Beverly fanboy. That's what I'm gonna.
Oh my god.
I did think of doing that for one of your characters, and I was like, that sounds funny for two.
Yes, that's a very funny first
and then
session.
I would suddenly be like, ah.
Much like Beverly, it's got very short legs.
And finally, the Fifth Kingdom, the city where our adventure will start.
Ooh.
Ezri.
We going back.
Yeah, baby.
Hold the phone. Is Tonathan still alive? And is Tonathan there? And is Stomp Bug there?
Okay. Actually, let me look at
gnomes.
Gnome lifespan.
Huh.
I played a gnome.
Again, not saying anyone's necessarily dead.
Uh-huh. Or there.
Wait. I'm kidding.
205 to 500 years.
I know,
years.
But that's just Google saying that. It's not based on D&D. It's just like, this is how long gnomes
for real.
Yes,
gnomes,
no. D&D says they can live 350 to 500 years.
Tonathan, one of the more likely people that's alive.
Wow.
I'd love to meet a tired, middle-aged Tonathan.
All that's important is that the bonfires are dead. I'm kidding. They're not. Please don't at me. They're not dead.
Oh, Hungry Dave is 100% dead. Of his own volition. Hungry Dave dies like next week.
Give me
week.
A chance to DM for them again. I'll
it's
kill
so
him.
So dark. Jesus. The thought of Hungry Dave dying tragically is so
It's so sad
terrible.
Because he would have loved to get to go to Asmodee and eat their food.
Jesus.
But like, all unfortunately, right. He slipped on some ice.
So anyway, Ezri, let's talk about this. Ezri, largely unharmed by Theala's cataclysm, Ezri had a huge head start on the rest of the world. It has become the sole surviving kingdom on the eastern side of the continent. With Gladeholm off in space, Ezri is easily the most advanced society in Bohemia. The Ezri bubble now protects a multi-tiered city of airships and magic technology. Technically, there is a royal family, but they are merely pawns of the real powerhouse, Alon Inc., a magic tech company that controls the city top to bottom. The company's headquarters is in an enormous air yacht that hangs over the city called the Mothership. Alon Inc. subject to change, but I think the Mothership is cool, so that's staying.
Are we fighting like billionaires in tech? Is that kind of like a vibe?
There's definitely, you'll be fighting their goons.
Ooh. God, this sounds awesome. Although, I love that.
Although by video game and D&D standards, it is the higher up you are in the company, the more HP you have for some reason. It's really weird.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like everyone.
I think you're yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that before.
I feel like we've talked about that. How
when you get a promotion, you get more HP.
Yeah.
I feel like it's you know, as like a 5-year gift, you get like you know, like an HP ring or something like that,
yeah.
Or like some +3 armor. Mm.
Like they give you the tough feat once you become a middle manager.
I feel like it makes it makes more sense in magic settings because it's like, oh, okay, this person is more magical, but it doesn't make a lot of sense in video games where it's like, ah, you're fighting a bunch of members of the mob, the muscle. Those guys are easy.
They're easier than like the
boss who just
does
tax fraud.
We love that scene in Sopranos.
Yeah,
when Tony Soprano gives Christopher Moltisanti a +20 HP buff.
That's actually that's a tough example because Tony actually does beat the shit out of most of the people under him. So maybe
that's a good point.
Maybe they've got it right. Anyway. With one company controlling the local economy, all other legitimate businesses have been pushed out, but that's to say nothing of illegitimate business.
What?
So, there's some shady characters for sure. I think we made the decision to kind of start this campaign in Ezri because I thought it was like a fun setting and stuff, but it all ended up in campaign one. It was kind of just based around an arc with Adam with Stunkbug. And that kind of didn't come in the whole, you know, rest of the campaign, really.
Yeah. It was like our first arc. So we're also like, at least me, I'm still like learning how to play D&D.
Right.
Yeah. We mostly just hung out at Stunkbug's house, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went shopping. We went to
go shopping.
Oh, we didn't ever get Renee. We never get to go to that Renee's.
Yeah, that was.
We did go. We got cocktails.
You guys were doing your normal thing.
I know we got
thing.
Cocktails at the Blue Man.
We got sliders
and tapas.
You guys got sliders and tapas.
We ate food. We tried to go to shopping.
When we have guests on, you guys throw pacing out the window and just talk to the guest at bars for hours, and then insist on going shopping. That happened twice. That happened with Brennan.
Well, you want to know why though, Murph? The shopping thing is not the case, because it's you're confusing it. It's whenever we get to a new town, we try to go shopping, and oftentimes
I do like going
the
shopping.
Easiest way to get to get in a new character is to enter a new town.
Yeah.
So the shopping and a new town are, because think about it. We went shopping in Frostwind. No guest there.
Yes,
right.
You have to shop in a new town. You need a new outfit for every arc.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I do this every live show. I go and I get a full three-piece suit tailored.
I don't disagree with that, but I think we can all agree that we throw pacing out the window when a guest comes on.
We're bad. I will agree that we're bad with guests.
It's
bad with guests.
Shopping is
worse than we normally are.
Shopping is fine, but you can't spend an hour like playing beer pong beforehand. You know what I mean? Yeah, like you have to.
But again, we also did that in Frostwind without.
But you did that in Frostwind, but that was after you fought a fucking dragon.
Okay,
this is
okay,
all. There's a time and a place.
It's true.
I'm just joking around, saying that we're bad with guests and without.
We are bad often,
right?
Generally.
I just hope Renee's is still there.
Renee is canon dead.
That was what Adam said. That was
like Renee. That's where he got his like tailored armor.
I love Adam as Stunk Bug. Orc Fraser. It was truly the most beautiful.
Yeah. We did not know what we were in for, because like at that point we'd only done like 8 episodes or something. So Adam, I think we thought it was going to be kind of low commitment. And then he ended up having to do like fucking 3 huge sessions with us.
Yeah,
we learned
it was very informative. Which he did with grace and humor.
We very much appreciated it.
He used to eat shit. Isn't that what he would say? Yeah.
He would talk about how he ate shit, and then I was like, you didn't.
He's eating actual feces outside of town.
Right. He was, Adam as a guest, I would say, he was like, so what if Amir was polite? You know what I mean? It was like, he still came in being like, of course this is a comedy podcast. Why the fuck would you be serious? Like, this is silly shit. Let's all be silly. But he was like playing along, and Amir was like, I'm here to kill you.
Yeah. Wait a second. Hugo was a gnome, right?
Yeah.
That means Hugo is still.
Hugo is murdered.
Yeah, we killed you.
Not in this timeline.
It's hard to keep the timeline straight.
Yeah, you.
Oh
you
my go. God. So essentially, we can have another Christmas special with Hugo.
With Hugo? Oh, with these characters meeting Hugo?
With Hugo.
And then just some updates on other places around Bohemia. Hill Home. Still around, now on good terms with their neighbors in Asmodia. Still a lovely little place filled with halflings.
There we go.
Cragwater. The Dwargers of old Cragwater have been cured of their mithril madness and now have a tenuous peace with their neighbors in Ezri. They have taken up in the ruins of Galadron. Because Galadron, the fucking mountain fell.
That's right.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So Galadron's gone.
Galadron's gone.
Yeah.
This
feels like a WoW expansion. You know what I mean? You got to just change it.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of some
stuff. I like it.
That's
or
really
even
cool.
Like Fortnite when they change the map.
Yeah.
Mm. It's exactly like Fortnite, which is why everyone is allowed to play in this new campaign.
There's a lot of discussion of Fortnite dances. There's a lot of. Now there's references to the map. There's Fortnite. Yeah.
We're going to have 100 players in this campaign, and we're going to slowly whittle it down.
Whoa, that's kind of fun.
It would be very fun to play, awful to listen to. Imagine a podcast with 100 hosts.
Oh my God. Just going through the initiative roll.
Jesus.
Oh God. And then there'd be like, like 5 people would tie for each initiative. So you'd have to like work that all out. Jesus.
And one of them is Naruto for some reason. I don't know. I haven't played much Fortnite.
They're not. You can be Naruto for sure. You could also be Sasuke and Kakashi.
This is great.
Yeah.
I guess we have our 3 characters picked out already. Then.
There we go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you could be Kakashi.
Oh my God.
Then there's The Living Wood, a wild place of magical secrets and desperately sought after by Ezri. However, the tree ants and dragons of the woods have prevented it from being conquered. Yes.
Holy shit. Are there trees riding dragons in this world?
No.
Well, we did have a horse riding a horse in the first campaign. There was a horse riding a horse.
This is very true.
Someone will make a fucking joke about it, right? Like, and then it'll be real.
I think Jake just did.
Jake just did.
We're there.
Mine wasn't even a joke. It was an earnest question that I think would be sick.
A tree riding a dragon?
I feel like a dragon riding a dragon.
Yeah, I guess it
depends on what kind of tree.
A shrub, an awakened shrub, just riding a dragon.
Yeah,
yes.
Just chilling, just living.
No, give us plants riding dragons, Murph.
At least a Triss on a dragon.
Yeah, there could be a Triss, yeah.
You know that a Triss doesn't drive the dragon, though. She goes shotgun.
Yeah.
Triss gets picked up.
Triss gets picked up.
And then within the Living Wood, the Crick done disappeared.
Whoa.
Though some still say, if someone in the Living Wood needs the hospitality of the Crick, they'll be able to find it.
I got the chills again. Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, I got bumps on my bumps.
So where'd it go?
Let me look at my notes. Here it is.
Something's literally amiss. The Crick is amiss. The Crick is amiss at the Crick.
I think that'll be some of the new kind of like factions and stuff you guys will be dealing with, is that there's Ezri, they've got this new company. Then the royals are kind of on their payroll, so like the army there, like the Bubble Knights, all these like synthetic eldritch knights are you know, a problem or an ally for you, kind of depending on where you land. Then there's all like just outside the bubble on like the outer rim area. And then, you know, possibly even within the bubble, there are going to be like different gangs and organizations and everything, like organized crime. And then you've got the Living Woods. At one time was like this, you know, magical place where you would go and you would go to the Crick. But now with Ezri so close to it and kind of like really vying for power, the Crick has had to quite literally protect itself. And not only that, but there's dragons there.
You're welcome from Moonshine. Yeah.
There's straight up dragons in there. So somebody coming in and trying to conquer it or something is going to get fucked up by dragons. But then not only that, there are high elves and Crick elves, or they might have been formerly known as those things, now calling themselves dragon elves.
What?
And they're protecting the Living Wood, but not in a way that's necessarily like just protecting it. More of like, we caught you walking here and now you're dead. You know what I mean? So not just killing people with bad intentions, killing kind of anyone that enters. And that's at odds with the Crick elves, essentially.
It's kind of like you walk into the forest and like you hope you meet a Crick elf and not a dragon elf.
There you go.
Sick. Yeah.
I want to meet a dragon elf, though, because that's the sickest shit I've ever heard.
Someone can also, one of you guys can be a dragon elf, or you could have.
It feels wrong, because I feel like it's like hard, because I like feel like I set that up for Moonshine, but then it feels wrong to then play it again, but I never actually got to play it with Moonshine.
You didn't get to play it again, and it's also, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it's very A to C. It's like, the dragon elves come from the Crick elves. You created both. If you played someone who had just left the dragon elves or something, then I don't think that would be weird. But I guess that's kind of the world that we're inhabiting. Do we want to talk a little bit about like what people are kind of thinking for characters without committing to anything yet? But like classes.
I have a quick question as well.
Oh,
how long has it been since Gladeholm disappeared? Like how long have we been living in this period of like tension and unrest?
Great question. I'll say, and I will clarify this when we actually do our session zero or even episode one, I would imagine that probably happened about 10 or 20 years ago.
Okay.
So it's like kind of recent history of like there was this kind of Gladeholm, I think, because They have like the thinking cap. They had the Titans of Bohemia. They had all this like ancient knowledge and everything. So it be, and it had like the Great Magic University. So it became like this utopia where everybody could come together. And so that meant that it ended up being kind of the leader in like, you know, magical breakthroughs and stuff, but also then just like very progressive stuff as far as, you know, taking care of people, maintaining peace and everything like that. But then the problem
troubles
is
in the like, astral plane called bigger problems called.
Yeah. Bigger problems called like the, once you get to a certain point, where the people of the city are like communicating with gods and stuff. Now the number of problems have grown astronomically where it's like, now we know there's a problem in this plane. Now there, we know there's a problem in this plane. There's a war amongst the Gith or something like that.
Oh my
and
God.
So,
yeah. So does this mean also that we could do like, maybe we could also do a side campaign with Moonshine, Hardwon, and Beverly where we play Star Wars 5e because we're in outer space?
Level 20 Star Wars 5e.
Astral plane is not quite, it's not quite space. There's not like...
Gotcha.
But you mentioned the Gith, which is very exciting because like we touched on them like so briefly in campaign one and it's like clearly there was a lot going on there, so it seems like that's a whole can of worms as well, but
Starspawn, a whole can of Starspawn.
Yeah. Starspawn. Murph, I was gonna ask, like, when Gladeholm left, was it like did they announce that they were doing this, or did they just kind of disappear? Okay, so this is kind of like a...
It was basically like, you guys remember in campaign one, there was that like astral council where there was like a big like meeting place that like all the people of the world would come meet at. There was essentially like a special force brought together on Gladeholm to help kind of solve these problems in the astral plane
and
in the universe as a whole.
Probably some kind of existential threat.
Yeah.
Which, if there's an existential threat and it's like, all right, everyone behave, we need to go take care of, we need to make sure that we all continue to exist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, they went off and now they're getting in other people's business. It's like, you know, enough people were able to use like divination magic to find out that bad things were coming. So we're going to prevent it from happening to the material plane. It makes more sense for us to go do that than to sit here and play politics with Frostwind.
Right.
As a player, it feels like such a clever way to be true to the world, but also make sure that stakes are different and unique, like for this world.
Oh, thanks.
It's a really cool reshuffling. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I think.
Good job.
No, thank you so much.
Good job. Good job, I agree. Remember we used
great
to hit on?
Great job, I agree.
Great job, I agree.
Great job, I agree.
Oh, that was you're allowed to at me if you say great job, I agree. I was wondering what that joke was.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
But I guess let's talk a little bit about what people are kind of thinking as far as class or what their character might look like or something like that. Or even we can talk through if, because I hadn't even sent this to you guys as an email. Like, you guys have, all you guys knew was I was like, we're going to do Bohemia again. It's going to be like steampunky again, essentially, but it's going to be in the future. I didn't even say how far in the future.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. We knew very little, but this is like, now I feel like this is filling in some things for me. So I have some thoughts, but Jake, you go first.
Totally. It feels like also like I had, so what I wanted to be was a giant frozen guy.
cool.
So I think I was thinking
like Elsa. Yeah.
Like Olaf actually.
Yeah.
I wanted to do an Eldritch Knight flavored with a lot of like freezing spells.
Oh, cool.
So I'm very interested in this alliance between frost giants and dwarves and Frostwind, because I wanted to play a Goliath, basically a big, like, blue-bearded dude that freezes stuff.
That's rad.
And
I love that.
That's
You're thinking Eldritch Knight, though?
I am thinking Eldritch Knight, because I was looking at Paladin, and it looked like it was going to be too hard, and it scared me a little bit.
Eldritch Knight is really cool. I'm very excited to see you play it.
Yeah, Eldritch Knight.
It's also
Knight.
Murph's, because you kind of have to get the DM's attention, and it's, like, Murph's, like, favorite class, so you are playing into
I do like it, yeah.
Sweet. Very sweet. I'm ready for some magic. I like the idea of, like, slinging spells, but not necessarily
slinging spell binders.
Yeah.
Yeah, needing a deck of cards.
It actually is like a pretty small spell list because you can only use two different schools of magic. I forget which ones they are.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to get shield.
You do get shield. Yeah. There's I mean, all the spells that I saw were fucking sick, especially the freezing ones. They're really fun.
Oh, rad.
And I have to like boost my, your intelligence is like your spell casting modifier, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you'd have to play a smart character.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
Oh,
that's really fun.
That cold, icy intellect. I love it.
Yeah. Get ready. I'm playing someone smart, guys.
I feel like smart in D&D always, it always just translates to like, you know a lot of stuff, but you're still a dumbass in other ways.
Yeah,
still,
I mean, I'll
I
have
feel
to
like
see.
That's smart in real life, though.
True. Yeah.
Truly everyone has a truly everyone makes a little devil's bargain when it comes to their skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta put your points somewhere.
Yeah.
And as a Goliath, I would say, well, first off, you can be from anywhere. Like Hard One was literally raised in a dwarfenage, so you can be from where the fuck you want.
Right.
But probably the most common places would be like either from like the frigid north or there was also the Goliaths that you guys ran into with Tonathan that were in like the mountains near like the Galadron Glades and stuff.
Oh, so,
like,
protecting the Watcher. Yeah.
You could do something like that. It might make more sense to do like Frigid North.
Frigid North seems very cool.
Yeah.
Blue beard. I love it.
Yeah.
Very, very.
We're talking like a bushy beard or like what sort of beard style are you going for?
I think it's going to have to be close cropped because Hard One had the big beard and I need to differentiate.
Oh, that's true. Because I was going to say you should do like whenever people draw like pictures of like Borealis or whatever the sort of like, I can't remember the name, the sort of wind god.
Yeah.
They always draw like sort of curly Q, like long beards. So I was going to suggest that, but you're right. You should do something different.
I got to look that up though. Good. Because I was literally thinking the name, like, I was looking at, like, Aurora Borealis, like, style words for my name because I like the idea of being up there from, like, the Northern Lights and stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the guy, or maybe it's just Bori something or other.
Rory Borealis.
Boreas?
Boreal?
Oh, yeah. Boreas, Greek god of north, wind, and winter.
Oh, yeah.
Sick. Oh, that's right.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Wow. This guy's sick. Yeah, that's who I am.
You just nice. Straight up back out.
You got your guy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. When we talked about this, I think we talked about it on mic, but like I encourage everybody to just like, if what you want to do is to play a big fucking strong guy, do it literally every time. Like, it's only going to be more fun to like lean into the things we want to do. So
this is what Murph says yeah. after I had a long conversation with him pitching that I start out as a commoner. also pitching to him that I don't know what my skills are.
She wanted to do... Yeah. Huh? She wanted to do... What the fuck shitty movie was that?
I wanted to do Born Identity.
You wanted to do Born Identity.
And like basically right. wake up and not know anything and then just have to kind of explore and find out what I'm good at.
That's pretty fun.
And I was like, Emily, you've helped with world building so much. Like... Literally, as Moonshine, you created a giant part of the world that was arguably the best part of the world. As Fia, the character made the setting feel real. And uh-huh. now you want, in addition to me having to build the world, also have to build your character.
But
with zero
let's
help
see what
you.
Happens. Yeah.
I just thought it would be very interesting.
Yeah. She would also like constantly be like digging little tracking devices and like USB thumb drives out of her skin. So like that could lead to a lot of exposition. That
oh,
way.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
I could really help with a lot of the born role play.
I can't think of anything worse for a DM than like constantly having to just improvise you finding out things about yourself.
Oh, I just meant more so like you would have my stats, right? So I'm like make moves, but I don't know what I'm good at yet, you know?
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
That was interesting to me is like I know, but finding that's... out. And it only happens for like a couple sessions.
So
and then
weird.
You get your character sheet and you find out what
it's
you're
on YouTube. It's interesting to
Murph,
me also.
You do it.
Yeah, I do it, yeah.
Other than that, though, Emily, did you have any other character ideas you were thinking of?
I don't really want to say too much because it's just fun. Fun.
Eat your cards. Don't show anyone.
It's just kind of fun to like have something for yourself. But it is interesting that you say you're being this frigid thing, Jake, because I was thinking of playing an Eladrin. I basically went to Murph. I was like, would it be cool? Like, I kind of like liked the idea of being a fae, but in like a cosmopolitan setting. That's where like the sort of fae archipelago thing came from. Although I kind of just wanted to imagine what like the trickery of the fae would be like in a city.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm just calling like it Vegas in my head right now. But
Vegas?
That's so fucking funny. You're like a grifter. And
I don't know what I will be. Yeah, I just kind of was like, well, what would the Fae, like if the, because the Fae is always very, from what I've seen, is always like in a very natural setting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, what if it was in a cosmopolitan setting? What would it be like? And then,
you've gone from Matt Damon in Born Identity to Matt Damon in Ocean's 11 is what you've done here.
I don't know what it'll be like. I'm just going to like read a bunch about the Fae and imagine how that would express itself as a city.
Yeah. City Fae.
Yeah.
I love that.
It does kind of feel like it would end up being like Vegas.
Yeah. City. Well, because it's like there's all this like bartering and trickery. And it feels like, especially in a place like Vegas, people would make some unsavory deals with Fae to get more money and stuff. Like that. So like, I don't know.
There's also like a New Orleans-y aspect to it that is
certainly
I don't know
I was thinking of though stuff. Also was that like maybe this is that the city is like sort of like they sort of closed off all the other portals to the Fae and so they're sort of controlling travel a bit, so I've been thinking about it like a port city like Venice or something like that.
Dude, I love the idea of like show me some docks.
So that's like kind of what I've been thinking of. Originally my first thought was like maybe it'd be fun to play an Eladrin. We like went to the Fae, we met all these Eladrin, none of us played an Eladrin. The seasonal stuff feels a little restrictive, but Murph gave me these really cool like blue and white dice Christmas. So I was like kind of like, I wonder what if Jake is still gonna play his thing, and like if that were the case, could I still be like a winter Fae? But I don't know. I think I want to play like maybe like a non-seasonal Eladrin. But anyways, so that's cool. really, really yeah. what I'm thinking about, but I'll probably change my mind entirely in the last like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely room for us both to play winter people.
Yeah. I was like trying to think that, like two characters can
relate over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome. Like yeah. it gives us a piece of like, I don't know. It gives us something in common that we can bond over. We're ice buddies.
Yeah. I'm also like,
crew, of course.
This sort of like, like the summer stuff of like,
ice guys.
Fire. I feel like Fia did a lot of fire, so I don't really want to do like, if I were to do magic, I don't really want to do like fire magic or anything. So
yeah,
I'm a noodling.
I love the idea of like a fifth season of Fae almost, which kind of
like, I've been thinking about fun. The nuances within seasons, like you know, like Midsummer Storms or Flowers or like stuff like that, and like thinking of more like nuanced things that might express themselves within a season.
Oh yeah, sick. Totally.
Micro that's seasons. Awesome.
Yeah.
So I love that.
That's all I feel that I will talk about. What about you, Caldwell?
Well, I'm planning on playing a snowman that's come to life, so also a frosty theme.
Oh, so really, actually, wait. Just,
this is Frozen. Yeah.
Wait a second. You won't die until season two, though. That's great. Oh. You'll know that like, you're not going to die.
It's perfect.
And you'll come back, yeah.
Everyone will be so excited that I'm back. I'm really excited to talk about it because I feel like in the gap since we finished Eldermorn and we've been doing side stuff, I feel like I've just kind of been percolating on a lot of different ideas, kind of all based around different classes. So I would love to get your thoughts. One that I think I mentioned to y'all before was playing kind of like a barbarian Path of the Beast character that's almost like a kind of a like artificial being, like maybe even like created somewhere in Ezri, that's like just basically designed as like a super soldier, like chimera sort of thing, because like all of the Path of the Beast features are like you have like a tail with like spikes and you have like claws you can use, and I thought it'd be fun to like have a character that basically is like a little more of like a beast, like almost like a cross between like a Bullywug and a kobold or something like that, but like with like all the bestial features kind of like mixed together. So that's one idea. Cool. I was looking at the Way of the Astral Soul as a monk class, which I really like.
So you didn't get to play a monk.
I did not get to play a monk, so I was kind of itching for that.
And they're very, very fun. Mm-hmm.
They are fun.
But I thought like in a more like cyber setting, like in a more like futuristic setting, like how would you do like Astral Soul? And I thought it'd be fun to be kind of like a cyborg character with like holographic limbs that are like hard light that he can punch with, which I thought would be kind of fun. Another angle I had was a bard who is basically like the cheerleader morale corps for like all of the soldiers. So basically just like a
USO, a robotic like a jukebox. USO performer. Yeah.
A drummer boy.
Yeah, basically the bugle boy for like the actual soldiers. But doing that is like there's like a bard, College of Valor bard.
That's cool.
And the last idea I had was just to play a bullywug in a big sweater.
That's the one. And you got it on the last try. It.
Yeah, no class. Jason Bourne.
No, you can't give it to someone else.
No, you're
what?
Jason Bourne. I was listing. Okay. I was listing the fucking people.
But also, Jason Bourne has a big sweater in the movie, in the first one.
Oh, okay.
Caldwell can't be Jason Bourne. Emily called Jason Bourne.
I also get to wear a big sweater.
Yeah, so we should all have big sweaters. And I'm like I'm going to play a Goliath, so I would have a big sweater as well.
Okay.
It would be form-fitting.
Big sweater. Yeah, yeah. Big okay. Just a form
sweater weather.
Bullywug in a big sweater, Jason Bourne in a big sweater, and the god of the North Wind in a big sweater.
Yes, for us.
The only other idea I had for the Bullywug was maybe, I was looking at Path of the, what is it, a Circle of Stars druid.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, I played that. It's really fun.
It seems really cool. And I like the idea of maybe like the star chart is like just markings on the Bullywug skin or something like that.
That's cool.
I will say, so, yeah, Caldwell, if you want to play a Bullywug, this is a rare, silly pass that I have because I like frogs so much in Chrono Trigger. So if like you ever wanted to play like just a little weird guy, like this is your fucking opportunity.
Would you let me have Mage Hand for my tongue?
you've ruined it. You have to play hard one. You have to play just a human.
I did think it'd be funny to just to play like a guy that like works in one of the offices for Elan Inc.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
But anyway, that's way too many ideas that I've been thinking over. So I'll maybe pick one of those. Although it's hard to pass up the loophole of just little frog guy.
That I like a frog. Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah, back really when like Murph was talking about making it more sort of like cyberpunky, like one of the, because you said like just a normal guy, one of the things I had been thinking of, but Kalwa had been thinking of barbarian, so I stopped thinking about it, was playing like an office worker who basically had like a Jekyll Hyde thing going on. And so she would basically have like commoner stats until she raged, and then she would, her stats would change.
That's super fun.
That seemed like it seemed like a fun challenge to be like having to use your rage strategically. Or like having like a super intelligent character. Like it wouldn't even be commoner stats. It would be like you would be good at one thing and then when you rage, you would be a different thing. It's like you would be like all sort of like intelligence and like just like very functional.
Is this kind of sounding Bourne-esque in a way?
There's a Bourne quality to this.
There's a Bourne quality to a lot of these ideas right now.
But I feel like then when I talked to you, though, it was like a little less. Like, do you want to, like, what is Elan Inc. like?
Mm. What are they like?
What is their technology like?
So, yeah, so I was going to say that. I think when I originally brought this up to you guys, I was like, oh, this will probably be like a Final Fantasy VII type thing, like more like kind of cyberpunk than fantasy. But then as I was going into the world building, I was like, I would only want to do that for Ezri. I don't want the whole world to be like cyberpunk. And so I think that means I just don't want to do cyberpunk. So I think if we're going to compare it to a Final Fantasy, it'd be closest to like a Final Fantasy IX.
Which we've been playing a little bit.
Which
lately.
We've been playing a little bit to get inspired.
Personal fave.
Yeah. It's great. So a lot of, basically it's...
So when you talk about playing an animal, it feels like really like fun for this world.
Totally.
Because in Final Fantasy...
There's a lot of like rat boys.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a really fun looking crew. And Eladrin and Goliath and a rat boy. Or a frog.
A rat boy. Stop being a frog.
I'm Red Sun.
Yeah. would probably also be dead.
I miss my dad so much.
I miss my grandpa who I never met.
Mother said that he was the greatest rat that ever lived.
Oh, man. I think you got to do it.
Anyway, we got to get some tapas.
Asmodia.
So I think the level of technology will basically be like pretty similar to last campaign, except it'll be like more common. So it'll be, I think it'll be the type of thing essentially where like when you're in Ezri, instead of having like, you know, torches are like regular lanterns. It'll be like, you know, merchants on behalf of Elan Inc. being like self-filling lanterns. And then like maybe like little teleportation ports to get you to like different areas of the city. Airships kind of like you had in Galadron, but maybe like a little bit more advanced. Just kind of the like magical technology that we saw in Ezri, but like
nice
last time, it's but like kicked up.
Industrialized magic, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Broombas. Broombas everywhere. Sweet. So we don't fully have our party yet, but it'll be a really big guy and Eladrin and some little weird guy, maybe.
Well, I also chose, because I knew that you wanted to be a Goliath. I knew that Caldwell was interested in playing like some little guy. So I chose, like, literally visually limited myself to like something that would straddle between, because if it was like, because I had wanted to be a gnome, but then like a gnome, a little guy, and a huge Goliath.
That's kind of fun,
like,
though. I mean, dude, I don't hate it. It's all about the balance.
Album art of like me just holding you guys on each shoulder. That sounds pretty fun.
That's kind of fun too.
All right.
Yeah, although I'd like
to be a big frog is the thing.
Yeah, that's true. You could just be a beefy dude. But I think a lot of the stuff you're coming up with the Fae stuff, I think it would be cool if you were able
My
to...
My DM is excited. Then I follow this path.
I am excited. That's why I was afraid of you being Jason Bourne, because I need you... Because when I came up with this Fae thing, I thought you were going to be Eladrin. So I was like, sweet. She'll like basically do what she did with the Crick and just like build this part. And then it was just like, what if I didn't know anything? I was like, please don't.
I need your help.
Please, please help me.
Yeah, it just shows up with a Mad Lib sheet.
Yeah, I just am imagining the party dynamic if, like, episode one, Emily's just like, I don't know what to do. Everyone would just be like, okay,
Well, no, because I wouldn't, though. Bar. If yeah. I woke up not knowing my stats, I would want to fucking try everything.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I would be like...
That amnesia is a really cool idea,
trying
though.
To, like suss out yeah. every single role to find out what I'm good at.
It's a really great one-shot idea, but I think, like...
I have to be honest, it was a one-shot idea that I had for you guys.
There you go.
Because based on... It was, like, a while ago when Jake was talking about how much he loves Bourne Identity, and I was like, that would be a really fun one-shot.
Yeah, that could have been any week that we all... got together, actually.
Yeah. I do think we've landed on, like, the core of this idea, though, which is that your character should wear a cool sweater.
Yeah, I think all of our characters should be wearing a cool sweaters.
Yeah, yeah. I will definitely. I want one of those, like, Icelandic sweaters with like the reindeers and stuff on it.
Oh,
ooh.
Nice. Yeah, I'm thinking, like, big sweater, like a big turtleneck on the sweater, or turtleneck on a frog, you know, pretty standard
yeah.
look.
That's cool.
Standard.
And I think, mine is just like that too.
Yeah. Everybody's going to be wearing frog sweaters. kind of
frogs with reindeer antlers.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So just so everybody knows, I think, first off, I think we'll be wrapping this one up, but, kind of timeline wise, I think we're hoping to start campaign 3, February. So you'll be hearing either session 0, we'll either do at the end of January, or we'll do first week of February, kind of depending on how much time I need. We will see, but we're kind of diving in as soon as possible. We're going to have some D&D courts with some fun guests and stuff, maybe post some live shows, probably do a lot of D&D court and Hearthsides and experiment with some new stuff in January, and then dive right into campaign 3, maybe do session 0 at the end of January, but we'll update you on that. In the meantime,
I'm so excited, Murph. This world sounds so cool. I mean, it was already cool, but you made it cool again.
It's a WoW expansion, baby.
or a Fortnite update.
Or a Fortnite update, Emily, please. You can't do this. Born Identity in Fortnite. Who are you?
All right. We'll see you all at Tilted Towers.
Sweet, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon. We'll be answering questions about Campaign 3, doing sort of a themed Hearthside. So you can head on over to that at patreon.com/NADDPOD. Don't sing.
Oh,
yes.
Hey.
Oh,
right.
I really
want
to do that time.
Right? We're kind of out of shape with this. It's been a while. anyway, does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
Oh my God, yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do actually have something I want to plug.
It. He's so mischievous right now. What the fuck?
Okay. I've been getting these nut milks delivered.
Oh my God.
And I just want to shout out the company that makes them.
The nut milks.
I think their name is Elmhurst. I am not sponsored. I am fully just a customer, but they make me happy. I love them. Murph knows.
She talks about
we should reach out. They should
sponsor. I like want them to succeed so that I make sure that I'm still getting my good nut milks.
Wow. Emily, did you say that you got a nut nog?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What is oat nog?
It was oat and cashew nog.
Disgusting.
So, I mean, if you're looking for some good nut and oat milks, look no further than Elm.
Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug? Caldwell, Jake.
I was gonna plug me and my brother's company, Halcyon, but I want people to support the nut milk instead. Cool. So if you bought anything from us, return it
and get yourself some nut milk.
Yeah, get yourself some nut milk. And
you
we'll
can do a subscription with them.
Caldwell, do you have any nut milks you'd like to plug?
No, I would like you all to send us nut milks at 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90327.
Please do not.
Don't
check it off.
Don't do that to the post office.
Yeah.
It definitely keeps, but if it breaks, it'll just go all over all the other shit.
It's really heavy, and you have to pick that up, and there's going to be a lot of nut milk.
Yeah. It's actually surprisingly light.
Yes.
You won't utter a bad thing about it.
Oh, Murph. Murph's Zoom just died. So I was going to read some P.O. Box stuff, but instead I think we'll probably just...
Yeah, Murph can't stop us now.
That's true. That's true. Finally, everyone can be shouted out properly without Murph giving thumbs down gestures and raspberrying me. So we have Scott B. at Ingram Whiskey sent us two bottles of their river-aged whiskey to help us celebrate the finale of Eldermorn.
Fuck, yes.
It is literally made on the river, so it is perfect for the third mates. Can't wait to tuck into that. Thank you so much, Scott. Michelle, a.k.a. at Mittens on Insta, sent us a beautiful cross stitch of Corbo that says, "Hey there, centaurs."
I saw
it. It's classy and creepy all at the same time.
Can't wait to hang it up.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like Corbo surrounded by a bunch of flowers. I love it. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Matt N., Katina R., Robert P., and Taylor C. sent us some custom dice towers. We've got a Vervain Industries elixir bottle, a Bookvar, a Mumford and Children Stein, and of course a Jill and Tucker branded tower as well.
Jesus Christ.
Now it's fully official. I don't know why they would need to roll dice, but now they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Noah JB sent us a care package of Virginian snacks, including one of my favorites, moon pies. They also sent us a 5E supplement called Humblewood. That's basically an oops, all familiar setting. There's even a pigeon folk race. Murph, I'm sure that you're excited about that, but you cannot weigh in. So I'll just keep rolling. Muktada M sent us a dice jail for when our dice are being bad little cubes. Thank you so much, Muktada.
Could have used that.
We're so happy we could be there for you this past year. And let's see, I got one or two more. Annie B sent us a lovely note and some homemade Band of Boobs keychains. I'm going to attach the P.O. box key to mine. And then lastly, Lars Eric E sent us a copy of their homebrew adventure, The Evil at Raw Manor. It is available on the DMs Guild website if you want to check it out. Thank you so much, Lars. Thanks to everyone that sent us stuff. It's always a pleasure to basically get an entire extra Christmas when I go to the P.O. box. So thank you very much. That's me for this week.
And yeah, guys, you can follow us all on social media that we may or may not use. At CHMurp is Murp. At EAXpert is Emily. At Caldy is Caldwell. And at Jake Hurwitz is me. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADD. P.O.D.
We are the youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means. We need to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, Matt M., and Darby M. Celebrity chefs of Asmodia, they recently joined forces in an attempt to create the most cursed dish of all, a tapas plate that's as big as an entree. It's madness, I say! Madness! Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Jibe G., Dylan B., and Dungeon Mama. Scholarly wizards who created the spell to detect if a commoner is secretly a super skilled sleeper agent. They call it the Born Identify. Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M., Beardman Dan, Scott D., and Danny P., employees at Elan Inc. Their occupations may be morally gray, but their teeth are pearly white. Seriously, the company's dental plan is unreal. Mixologist Michael McD., Vincent W., Nicole T., Victor T., Balnor's boy, and Justin I. Treants that gave up on dragon riding to focus on horses instead. Using the apples that grow from their branches, they were able to quickly bond with their mounts, and now these treequestrians dominate the world of dressage. Ragnar Fairdwin, TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Kaylee E., Elena M., Trele the Crayfay, and Jared E., a team of Frostwind dwarves and giants that have put aside their differences to defeat their greatest enemy, the immortal snow being known only as Olaf. Austin M.R., Damiel R., cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Danny C., Filbert the Fabulous, and Richard X. Machina, Cragwater dwarves who found a vast hoard of Werther's originals while exploring the wreckage of Galadron. However, before they could pick up even one Werther, they felt a chill down their spine and heard a voice behind whisper, "Such fresh children." Michael L., Trust the Traveler, Sir Carl, Jory S., and Callum L., artisans commissioned by the Bon Frères to build a giant gold statue of Hungry Dave, who, ironically enough, perished while trying to eat a giant gold statue. Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Sam B., and Mike H., descendants of Denny Pebblepot. They are all 10 times as craven as their ancestor and will most likely be hiding for the majority of Campaign 3, but trust us, they're there. Udisha Mulek, the baby bronze dragon, Matthew E., Colton B., Adam G., Megan S., and Nabadger. A gang of awakened possums currently planning an elaborate heist on a casino in Vegas. If they pull this off, it'll be the last job they ever do. Oh, Melora, that's a lot of brown leaves. Panama James, Cummins the Bard, Captain Sigil, Nathan C., and Diana, wanderers of the living wood who swear you can find the crick if you just follow the smell of jambalaya and juvenile arson. CC Lulu, Barnes-inator, Michelle O., Alex W., and Timmy R., the dietitians who've confirmed that Nana Kindleaf was right, a diet of Werther's and spite is the key to a long life. Jonathan W., the croc-wearing warrior, Lucas B., Aaron S., Hits Kevin, and Bionic Pookie. The food critics in Asmodia who have the difficult job of coming up with new ways to say amazing, stunning, unbelievable. New York, Cass, Stephen C., Michael M., Mike K., and Lady Taco. Dragon racers, like dragon riders, but even more of adrenaline junkies. The biggest risk is actually how mad the dragons get when you paint racing stripes on them. Joy T., Nara, Jake L., Nick W., Brave the Badger, and Esme M., Alana Inc. scientists who really wish people would call them wizards. Scientists is just so clinical, and mass-producing shield spells doesn't make you not magical, okay? Nathan, Casimir the All-Knowing, Big Beardo the Mad, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, and Ghoulia Julia, the ghosts of all the NPCs who didn't make it to Batumia. Maybe they can make an appearance as ghosts, though, please, Merv? Thrath, Burly T, Percival Frederick Stein von Musel Klausowski DeRolo III, Christian A, J Dragonborn, and Joro the Inapropro. Frigid North Hot Springs owners who are desperate for some screen time in Bohemia this time around. They want that tourism boost. Cody B., Liam D., The Sandrean, Ben A., Feldonis, and Dave H. The Pebblepot Priory, which has emerged in New Bohemia as a religious sect that practices the gentle art of cowardice. Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., and Dustin S., Drake Elves. They actually have nothing to do with the lesser cousins of dragons, Drakes. They just love the Canadian rapper and Degrassi star. Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Isabel F., Kyle H., the Time Walker, Emilio D., Two Left Eyes, and DPC is awesome. The famous dragon riding trees. These saplings love to feel the air in their leaves as their mount destroys a village. Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian, Cat C., Porkchop, Chanel M., Velaciraptor, and Minette F., Bohemian writers who have had a busy few decades writing obituaries for all your favorite characters. Bonky Fiasco, Pat L., Achutha A., Lauren H., Amber W., a.k.a. Hazelbat Latte, and Joshua D., Elias Hawthorne. The Keepers of the Crick. These elves will never reveal where the crick's gone. Unless you offer them a beer or ask, like, really nicely. Ryan S., The Bone Duster, Robert Crisp, Brentley C., Micah B., and Patrick H., food truck owners in Asmodia. That's right, Murph's badass Cursed City is now canonically a culinary destination. Ploops, Carly Ann, Addie Birdie Save K., Lori P., Seth AJ, Spam Gaming the Not-So-Skilled Gamer, and Connor Savage. Gladeholme University commuters. These unfortunate souls have to plane shift from the material plane every single day just to get to class on time. Christopher J., Pebblepot, Logan S., Leviathan, BioQuartz 7, Remington CD, and Amber Dextrous. Caldwell's Bullywug family. They're all super close and have perfect dental health. Thrill of the Fright, Sullivan H, Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney T, Matt Y, and Alex C, a squad of dragon elves in a war with dragon riding trees for their right to be the sole crew of badass dragon riders. Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, and Carlin C. Members of the Cult of Pendergreens, these cultists keep his influence on the material plane alive by hoarding Mountain Dew and owning noobs at Rocket League. Sid B, Jake, Sessie A, Matthew J, Tiara P, and Noah, an adventuring crew currently on a winning streak in Vegas. They've already won big at Blackjack, and they got their own Balnor from the deck of many things. Estelle, Baron S. Sebastian's romance partner from the Baronies, Conflicted DM, Justin LB, Dandy, and Richard G. The team of chauffeurs it takes to transport one single Triss. Triss is known to want to ride to the mall on her whim, so it takes this many drivers to be on standby. M. Barber, Marcus P., Pup Kalish, Gabrielle M., Learns the Balance Druid, and Dakota JP. Trees trying to train dragons so they can ride them. So far, it's mostly resulted in forest fires. Pagos, self-proclaimed Fae Prince, Katrin, Tracy B, the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E, Lisa M, and Holly Hyena. Obituary writers for the Bohemia Times, who are honestly just really confused as to who is dead or not, so they're just writing the same obituary for Hungry Dave over and over again. Anthony A, Leah C, Abigail, May B, Egg Infinitum, and Sloth King 777. Food bloggers who make an annual pilgrimage to Asmodia to eat the cursed cuisine. It's cursed because once you've eaten food in Asmodia, you will never like your hometown food again. Cal Just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, and Neos, the novice monster hunter. Cabaret dancers in a Fagus show. There's no trick to how fast they move their legs during the can-can. That's just pure talent. Lorelai and Kira Frost, Morgan M, Sticker, Zachary A, Stephen E, and Mr. Adams. Sweater knitters in the frigid north who make a living knitting one single giant sweater for Jake's character every year. Megan F, James F, Jimmy A, Penguin Crusader, Cap'n Cappy, and M4L. Lawyers who sued Werther's for the untimely death of Nana Kindleaf and who, to this day, are the richest people in Hillholm. Their last name does happen to be Pebblepot, unfortunately. Rigby M, the Dragon Ambassador. Wayfarer, Andrew B, Dalton B, and Cope Fresh. Frost giants who still harbor a little beef with the frost dwarfs, but only let their animosity out in really small, petty ways, which is, it's healthy. It is. And that's it. That is our Benevolent Council of Elders. We are so excited to start this new campaign, and we thank you all for supporting us so that we can do so. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.